We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Today is the National Day of Prayer, May the 7th, 2015, and I pray today that you would get to participate in some of the events. There are some morning events, some noon events. The one we will be participating in is the nighttime event that'll be at First Baptist Church of Merritt Island tonight at 7 p.m. I pray that you would come out and be a part of some of those. If you cannot make any of the corporate events, would you please take time to pray for America? I preached a message a little over a week ago in our vintage service, and a lady came to me and she said, "Pastor, that message needs to be on the radio. That it's a message that needs to go out." And so I pray that you would find yourself on your face today praying before God. Listen, we don't need a government declaration for it to be a day of prayer. Every day is the day that the Lord has made. We should rejoice and be glad in it. We should call upon His name. Listen, if you're only praying once a year, you are missing out on 364 days of blessing. So we encourage you to come be a part. God says in Psalm 133 that when brethren dwell together in unity, that it is a place of commanded blessing, even life forevermore. And so be a part of that. Also tonight, we're going to be at the First Baptist Church of Merritt Island. And we have been mentioning here on the program, this is the last day that I'm going to mention this, but we're going to be partnering with them, sowing a seed into their alternative pregnancy center expansion. They're purchasing an ultrasound, and tonight we're going to be presenting, not presenting, but taking over a check to them to help in the purchase of that. And I will bring you an update on that probably sometime next week and let you know if and how much has come in for that. So praise God, because that's going to result in lives being changed and people discovering later on that which they thought was one of the darkest seasons of their life actually turned out to be one of their greatest blessings. I'll say this, my wife and I, we were pastoring the church, had been there for a number of years, and we were pretty content. We had two kids. We had a boy and a girl, and I was very content. And in those days, I had a car with an AM radio. I was driving down the road. I could still tell you where it was when I heard it. Back in those days, you could listen to CNN on the radio, and I was listening to a news story, and it talked about a family that had gone through this situation, and they had reached two children, and so they thought that they were at the end, and all of a sudden they had three children, and they took some extended steps, and then all of a sudden they had twins, and it was the first time in recorded history that a family had ever experienced that sort of family growth when they had taken precautionary measures. And I remember as I was pulling into the post office parking lot that day, I said, "You know what, God, you are God. And if you want to expand our family, God, I just want you to know, I'm not here going to put limits on you. I'm just here to say yes to your plan." And it wasn't too much longer than that. We discovered that our family was going to grow again. And, all of our children, each one of them have taken a different path. My son, took one path. He was in the band in high school, and then after high school, he took a different path. He works for a wonderful company here in Brevard County. My daughter she was in the band. She went on to high school, or went on to college, and she became a supervisor of the student assistants, student teacher assistants there. Ended up working for the head of the department and is back in Brevard County. She's doing a wonderful job working for a company here in Brevard County. Also teaches our adult Sunday school class and involved in just about more than you could possibly imagine a young lady in her 20s being. Great, great heart for God. And our youngest daughter, who, she's just a real blessing, has gone through some issues in her life physically that we didn't have on our agenda. But what happened was she didn't like the band. She tried it, didn't like it. And so she chose a different path. She's just won an award here this year for her theatrical management capabilities, and is involved in things that neither her brother or her sister were involved in, and is doing excellent. And you know, there are blessings that each one of them have brought into our life that we would have missed out on had we not had the privilege of being their parents. If you are listening to this broadcast and you find yourself in an unexpected pregnancy, don't believe the devil's lies. The devil will lie and tell you that that child is going to ruin your life. And I want you to know that the opposite is the truth. That child is going to love you. That child is going to be a blessing and a source of joy in your life. Don't let the devil steal your blessing. My philosophy is this. If the devil recognizes that the blessing of God is so valuable that he wants to steal it, I need to recognize that the blessing of God is so valuable that I need to do everything in my power to retain it, to take care of it, to feed it, to nurture it, and to grow it. So come be a part tonight of the National Day of Prayer. Let's go back to Isaiah 58, verse number 10. It's where we concluded yesterday. It says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall be dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. So we talked about on yesterday's broadcast that we actually need to extend ourselves to minister to those who have legitimate needs, and that our goal is to satisfy the afflicted soul, At Merit Assembly of God, we have an interesting, well, we have a philosophy of helping people. Jesus said, the poor are always with you. You can help them anytime you want. If there's somebody poor, you don't even have to pray. You already have scriptural confirmation and blessing from God. Some people might think that that's a little bit controversial, but I look at it and he says, the poor are always with you. You can help them anytime you want. I look at it and say, that means that I've already got God's permission to help somebody who is poor. And so at Merit Assembly of God, we've been there. We've helped a lot of people through the years. And here is our philosophy when it comes to helping people. And that is this. We believe that there are varying degrees of relationships. There are people who are family. There are people who are brothers and sisters. There are people who are acquaintances. There are people who are complete and total strangers. And so when it comes to helping people who are in need, if it's somebody in our church, we will bend over backwards to help them. We will do what we can. We will minister to them, and we have done that. Legitimate needs, we help to meet people with legitimate needs. Now, our second thing is this. If we know If somebody from our congregation comes to me and say, Pastor, there's a family that I know, or there's a person, and this crisis has just come upon them. It has just become a reality in their life, and I can vouch for them. They're not. This is not a problem of their own making. It is just something that has come up. Then we will also do what we can to minister to those. If somebody comes to me and I don't know them, and they say, I've got this need in my life, I say, okay, here's the first question that comes out of my mouth. Where do you go to church? Where do you go to church? If I can tell you this, this is a reality. More people come to the church or ask the church for help on Monday mornings than any other morning of the week. The reason for that is they know that the church was just open on Sunday, and that was when the tithes and offerings came in. And so the chances of resources being available are greater than any other time. But the truth of the matter is that they didn't think that need was so important that they should be feeding their spirit first. So if somebody comes to us and it's just a cold call, we generally don't respond to that situation. We look for an opportunity to build relationship. Now, if they say, I go to a church, and then I say, okay, well, hold on, let me call that pastor, and we will see what's going on here in that situation. And if it is a brother and sister in Christ, and that church says, you know what, they do have a legitimate need, then we will help them in that response as well. A couple of weeks ago, we had somebody that showed up. They've not shown up once. Now this is about the fourth time. They walk in, and there's no interest whatsoever in ministering to their soul. All they are looking for is a financial handout. When I tell them that we don't give out cash, they generally don't want to stick around and hear the word. But we will extend ourselves to help people. But it says here, and satisfy the afflicted soul. Again, that's the spirit, the mind, the will, the emotions. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so it tells me that my priority has got to be to take care of my spiritual needs first. And as I take care of my spiritual needs, then the other problems that I face, those are going to begin to topple naturally. This in John, the epistle of John, not the gospel of John, the epistle of John, third John verse 2, it says this, may you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So if I will extend myself to satisfy the afflicted soul, if that person's soul begins to prosper, then they're going to begin to prosper in health. They're going to begin to prosper in other areas of their life. So please understand, as a pastor, I've got to take care of the spiritual problems first. If a person does not want to take care of the spiritual problems, then we're not going to... We do not have enough resources to satisfy the needs of the entire world. There's only one person who can satisfy the needs of the entire world, and that is Jesus. And so taking care of soul needs is our very first priority. And as a result of that, we will also try and help other people. Your church may have a different philosophy. I'm just telling you what ours is. Then it says, your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Okay, what it is describing here is very much what happens when the Earth's axis begins to circumvent the sun, navigate around the Earth and complete an orbit. There's a time when the northern hemisphere is tilted towards the sun, and there is constant daylight. The sun never goes down. Conversely, there's another time during the year where the sun never comes up. It is during that time that people a lot of times begin to battle depression and things like that. It may have been so long since you've seen any spiritual daylight, any spiritual breakthrough, that you have become depressed. I want you to know that if we can get beyond ourselves, if we can get beyond our own needs and beyond our own actions, that God says, then all of a sudden you're going to find yourself living in a time where you experience no darkness. He said, your light shall dawn in the darkness, and the darkness is going to be just like high noon. Okay. Now, all of that has been to get to verse number 11. Everything we've talked about from Isaiah 58 is to get us here, because we've got to understand those are the prerequisites. And it says, the Lord will guide you continually. God is not looking for one-night stands in his leadership of you. He is not just looking to lead you whenever you are in crisis. God is looking to guide you constantly. He's looking to guide you not just in your spirit, but he's looking to guide you in your relationships. He's looking to guide you in your finances. He's looking to guide you mentally. He's looking to guide you physically. He wants to guide you occupationally. He wants to say, when you begin to do this, when you walk and fulfill my purpose in your life, you are going to find that I'm not just going to be sporadic leadership, but you're going to want me to be leading you continually. Continually. I encourage you, if you are just occasional in your relationship with God, do yourself a favor and take that relationship up a notch. Become more committed. Become a better follower. Listen, we are called to be disciples. A disciple was a student follower who was learning from Jesus' example. We are not the master. God is the master. If your prayer time is so focused on telling God what to do instead of thanking him for his leadership and meeting your needs and guiding you and imparting his wisdom to you, teaching you his ways so that your thoughts become his thoughts, you're missing out. The greatest privileges of all is God's continual leadership. Just about every job that I've ever had, I ended up, even though I would just show up as an employee, sooner or later, I ended up in leadership. And I didn't get there stabbing people in the back or anything like that. I just worked to the glory of God. God's my boss. And I remember a time I was a manager in the business realm, in the retail realm, and I was pastoring a church, and all of a sudden, all of that responsibility began to weigh on me. And I was like, God, you know, I'd be willing to give up this retail thing just to go out and dig a ditch as long as I didn't have to make the decision as to which ditch to dig. I just wanted somebody else to be responsible, somebody else to have to make the decisions. And I want you to know today that God is that person. What a blessing do you think that it is that we can come to him in prayer and say, God, here we are. Would you be my doorkeeper? Would you open the doors that you want to open? Would you close the doors that you don't want to open? God, I don't want to open doors because of my greed or because of my need. I want doors to open because that is the will of God. And you are going to use me. Whether it's buying a house in a neighborhood, God, you're going to use me in that neighborhood. If it's a job that I'm going to be able to be a representative of you in that job. Let God lead you continually. And it says, and he will satisfy your soul in drought. Now, remember, the scripture says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. And it says here, if you have extended your soul to satisfy the hunger and the afflicted soul, that all of a sudden you're going to be benefited, and God's going to be leading you continually, and he's going to satisfy your soul. He's going to satisfy your soul even when there is a drought that is going on. I want to encourage you. One of my favorite truths from the Word is God says, I will make the desert to blossom. I will transform the desert for on behalf of my children, on behalf of my covenant people. Actually, in Israel, that is a reality. Some of the most dry, arid places, places that things could never grow, are now agricultural havens. There's so much food that is produced there because God has given them wisdom on how to make the desert to prosper. God says, I'm going to satisfy you even when there is not a natural source to satisfy you. God leading and guiding you will satisfy our soul, our mind, our will, our emotions. And it says, and strengthen your bones. Actually, a week ago today, there was a person, and we've been praying for that person. And here was our prayer. God, strengthen their bones. What I pray for our church is, God, I pray that you would strengthen not just our spiritual foundation, but our physical foundation. God, I pray that the word penetrates the joints and the marrow. I pray that the marrow would be filled with health and vitality, that you would make our bones strong and healthy. God, I pray that none of the people in our church suffer from osteoporosis or arthritis or any other bone deteriorating disease. That's what I pray. It's in alignment with the word of God. And so I pray, God, strengthen their bones. And it says, you shall be like a watered garden. Now listen, this is talking about the blessing and the favor of God, even when there is a drought that is going around. If you read the story about when the children of Israel were wandering through the wilderness, they were complaining against Moses because there was no water. And then they came to a place and the waters were bitter. And then it said they came to an oasis in the desert. There came to a place, there were 70 palm trees. There was water. They were able to camp around that. It was a little oasis in the midst of an arid environment. Christians are supposed to be that in our modern day and times, where there is drought and spiritual lack all around us. God wants Christians to be a spiritual oasis. He says, you will be like a watered garden. You are going to be fruitful. You are going to be like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Verse 12, those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. So let me tell you about God's continual leadership. He says, you are going to restore the old places. Right now, we live in a day and time where everybody is fascinated with youth. Everybody is fascinated with the newest movie, the newest technology that is coming out. But I tell you that there are some old places that God still has his sights set on. Our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value spiritually and relationally. And my philosophy that God gave me, my call, the vision statement of my life, if you will, is to restore value to that which other people had cast aside and deemed as worthless, but God still deemed as priceless. See, you're not worthless, you're priceless. There's a huge difference. Worthless says that you're not worth anything. Priceless says, I'm worth so much that they've not printed enough money yet to be able to purchase me, because I've been bought and paid for by the blood of the Lamb. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. It says that you shall build up the old waste places, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. I love to hear about archaeological digs. I love to hear about people who go and they find things that have just been covered up by the debris of life. And all of a sudden, do you realize that they can find a broken shard of pottery? Something that we would take and throw into the garbage can and it would be hauled off to the dump. And when they find that, because of how old it is, it becomes priceless. One of my one of my favorite, let me go. It says, you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. God wants to use his covenant people to restore health, vitality, prosperity, and life to those places that were devastated. What we are experiencing at Merit Assembly of God, when you come in, you might not be impressed with the crowd. You might not be impressed with the environment or anything else, but I will tell you what is taking place at Merit Assembly of God. God is restoring it to health and vitality. You might look at it and you might see the work in progress and not be impressed by it. But I tell you that as pastor, I see that places that were abandoned, they're not abandoned anymore. Places where there were lack and they were broken down, they're not broken down anymore. And so we're constantly looking to bring health, and we are going to restore. And our goal is that every seat that we have is going to have somebody that seat is a blessing for. So that's what we're in the restoration business. We're in the health, the vitality, and the blessing of God business. That's what we're looking for. One of my favorite stories of all time. I read a lot of articles, and this one I've printed out. I've got it somewhere in my folders. Is they were doing an archaeological dig in Israel, and when they did, they came across a seed that had laid dormant for thousands of years. And when they began to analyze the seed, they realized that it was a seed of a tree that had been extinct. They found a seed that was just occupying in the ground. It was buried and forgotten about, and there was nothing happening with that seed, and it had been that way for thousands of years, and all of its kindred had died. And when they found that seed, here's what happened. They planted it, they nurtured it, they watered it, and that which had been extinct came back to life because somebody restored that which was broken down. Today, I don't know what you've got facing in your life, whether it's a promise and the devil's tried to convince you it's extinct, God's forgotten about it. I want you to know, no matter how deep it is, God still knows where it's at. He wants to restore those broken down things in your life. And that will happen if we will be about his business of ministering to those hurting around us, extending our soul on their behalf, and allowing God to be the leader. Let's let God be the one in charge of us today. Amen. Father, where you lead, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow. May you not just lead us on Sunday, but may you lead us every day of the week, not just in our spirit, but in our finances, our relationships. God, lead us. I pray today, God, that you would minister to those who are hurting, and God, you would restore that which is forgotten. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.